come. You know, yesterday's news, and we forget the greatness of that revelation. But I met your pastor 3 years ago, and, you know, it's just been a wonderful journey of friendship with him. He came and preached at my church. And like him, I'm very reluctant. I'm very selective on who we put behind our pulpits. You know, he liked me. We pioneered the churches that we're working in, and we take it very seriously, you know, the people that God has put under us, you know, that we make sure that they're fed and looked after and cared for and loved. And so you always are very careful who you bring to your pulpit. So I thank you, Pastor, for, I know it's a huge privilege to be here. And thank you for the opportunity this morning. But I also want to formally invite you back to Ireland. The people remember you with great fondness. You brought a mighty word from the Lord. And I know you were asked impromptu to preach at that meeting, but it was absolutely awesome. And by the way, the guy that sold me his marijuana pipe, I'm sorry. to get on a missions trip. Bless the Lord. Well, praise God this morning. We had a wonderful first service, and the Lord is doing mighty things, and he will continue to do mighty things because he's a mighty God. Amen? Amen. And you have not hit the apex of your relationship with God. You have not got there yet, friends. I'm telling you, you ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to this magical mystery journey. As we journey in the Lord, we will soar to worlds unknown. Amen. And it's going to be a fantastic time, particularly when we come into the end days. It's trying great and terrible days, but they are going to be great days. Amen. And our confidence is not in the presidency. Our confidence is not in the world structures. Our confidence is not in the flesh. Our confidence is in the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Amen. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Cork, Ireland. We would love all of you to come visit sometime. I'm always on a mission to try to rob someone from a church and come join me. Pastor's locking down all his key people. But I just said to his granddaughter, who's 13 years of age, I said, you're about 3 years away from coming to work with me in Ireland. And I got that look. Just for a moment, it cracked, you know. Because I could see that little granddaughter was one of the loves of his life. So praise the Lord. So praise God. Amen. If you have a Bible, I hope you do. Would you turn to the Gospel of John? And we're going to look at it's quite a long reading. It's quite a fascinating piece of scripture. But I have a word this morning, and it is, God put this on my heart. I've preached this before. This is not a brand new message for you. I've preached this before, but a long time ago. But it was only late last night that I had a different direction in my mind, and God brought me back to a thought. Because I think that God has, for some of you, a sobering message. And I do pray you'll hear it as kindly in your heart as you can, because the Bible says all those he chastens, he loves. He does. Some of us had no fathers. They didn't care what we did. We ran around, did what we wanted to do, behaved like delinquents because moms and dads didn't care about us, didn't bring discipline to us. But every child, every son he has, he loves, he chastens. Amen. And this is early into the life of Jesus. We're going to read from verse 49 at John chapter 6. He says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats the bread, he will live forever. And the bread I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For flesh and blood, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers that ate manna and are dead. He who eats of this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult saying or a hard saying. Who can understand it? And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. He said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives light. The flesh profits for nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there were some who of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe him, and who would betray him. And he said to them, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted of him of my Father. Interesting here, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What an incredible scripture. It's an incredible scripture in the life of the Lord. The background is Jesus has fed thousands of people in the Galilee. And they begin to see that there's something very different about this man. And he travels across the lake, and the next day a flotilla of boats arrive. This is the background. And Jesus is always after your heart. Do you understand? And he slips the disguise very quickly. He says, this crowd are only here because they eat the bread. But they missed the sign. You know, and so he begins to minister to them. And his ministry, not just to them, but to his disciples. At this time, there was over 70 of them. You remember at one stage, he'd sent 70 out, two by two. Well, they're here with him at this time, and he begins to speak to them. I am the bread of life. And if you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. There's something that happens to us when we serve the Lord. Somehow, we think that we can contribute to the work of Christ. Something that we've done in our journey. My good ushering. My great guitar playing, our keyboard playing. By the way, brother, you could really rock that thing. My great drumming, my great singing, my abilities, my oratory, my speech. Something creeps into our psychology thinking that somehow I bring something. I have a ministry. I have a gifting. And God, Jesus is after the heart. Do you understand? So all these people are gathered around him, and he sees the heart of the men and women. They're after him because of what? The good feel factor. What I can get from church. What I can feel. What I can contribute. Why I can feel good about myself because I did something for God. And he says something very graphic. Now, this is one of the scriptures. I come from a Catholic background where the Catholic Church takes this about eating the flesh of the Son of the Man and drinking his blood, you know, and they use this. Of course, Jesus later on says, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. They never read that part of it. He's talking to people. He says, you don't seem to get it. It's all about me. It's my body. It's my blood. It's my cross. And it says that they became offended at him. See, you have to understand what's at play. Christ is after the heart. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. The word of God is that sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides right into the bone, right into the marrow. The word of God will reveal your true character. It's possible to go a long way with Christ and then leave him. Can you imagine how Christ must have felt? You've seen me work wonders, walk in water, heal the sick, feed thousands of people on a couple of loaves and fishes. And then you heard me teach in the synagogues. But I said they became offended. Many of his disciples walked with him no longer. These are the very disciples that came back after their junket into the ministry, into the mission world, and they came back. Even the demons are subject to us. Oh, because of your name, of course. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. What he was saying, the very same pride that I see rising up in you, I saw made Satan fall from heaven. The very same thing. Even the demons are subject to us. Oh, of course, because of you, of course, Jesus. And so there's always a chasing after the heart of the church. Here Christ says something that they don't quite understand or they don't quite agree. They struggled with eat my flesh and drink my blood. But what he was telling you don't see, people. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's not about the miracles. It's about the miracle worker. It's not about you. It's about me. And this offended them. I have a little definition of the word offense here in the Greek. If I can find it. To give occasion for ungodly conduct. Cause to sin or to turn away. That's what the word offend means. To entice to sin, to trip up. Very happy until something is said that I'm not quite happy about, and then the true state of my heart becomes revealed. It's not of you. And a sad separation. He didn't send them away. They separated from him. He said, he that cometh unto me, I will never cast out, in verse 37. They separated from him, even though they received much kindness from him, friends. Their sicknesses were healed, their miseries alleviated, their hunger sedated. Very happy until something is said. No, I'm not quite happy about that. For heaven's sake, my ways are not your ways. For heaven's sake, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Most people here in John 6 followed him from the Galilee, followed over the boats, but Jesus had to expose the true character. You're not here because of the signs. You came here because of the bread. So many of us are happy when we hear Jesus say, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. We all go, hallelujah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We all say, amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The pure of heart, for they shall see God. The peacemakers, because they are sons of God. The persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're all very happy until something is said that we're not quite happy about now. What when he says, blessed are you when men revile you and say all kinds of evil against you for my name's sake? Are you offended? When he says, not to hide your light under a bushel, are you offended? Are you offended when he says that if you're angry with your brother without cause in heart, you're in danger of judgment? Does that offend you? Or if you should call him Raka, fool, you're in danger of the fire of hell. Does that offend you? Are you offended when he says, forgive? 7 times 70. He's not even putting the number on the friends. Because if you are easily offended, your offense is not with the brother or the sister or the pastor. Your offense is with the one who calls you to forgive. If you're offended with your spouse, your family, the people around you, if you're offended and Jesus says you're to forgive, let me tell you, friends, it's not just walking away from your wife or the person who hurt you. You will walk away from Christ. If you're easily offended, causing the opportunity to turn from God because he says forgive, I can't forgive. Your controversy is not with the person who's offended you. Your controversy is the one who commands you to forgive. It is. You don't have a controversy, friends, with the one who has hurt you. Your controversy is with Christ. And I've seen it so many times in the house of the Lord. Offended because my gifting isn't recognized. You don't have a gifting. It's my gifting, he says. It's my body. It's my blood. My talent isn't recognized. You don't have a talent. It's my talent that I put in charge for you. My ministry is not recognized. You don't have a ministry. It's my ministry. It's my body. It's my blood. It's all about me. All of a sudden, well, you know, surely, Pastor, God moved because we created the atmosphere with the nice music and we greeted the people so beautifully. And surely, come on, really, if I wasn't there greeting, if I wasn't there doing, if I wasn't this, it wouldn't have happened. Yes, it would. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if you won't praise me, I'll raise up the stones, the Gentiles, the foreigners, the weak, the broken, the backward. I'll bring them in their droves. I will have a church. You don't have a ministry. You don't even have a talent apart from me. We all know that, don't we? And I'm telling you, friends, it offends the man. It offends the pride, the very thing that Satan fell from heaven for. My body, my blood. Are you offended when he says, turn the other cheek, walk the extra mile? If you're offended with that, it's not with the person who's hitting you, it's with Christ. You have to see it, friends. You have to see when he uses graphic talk. It's my body, it's my blood, it's my cross, it's my spirit in you. It's your breath in my life. You know that song we say, it's your breath in my lungs. Pour out your grace. Do we really believe I am what I am by the grace of God? Take God out of me and I'm graceless. I am ugly to the core. I'm selfish. I am wicked. I'm a beast. I'm the worst man that could ever walk this planet, friends. It offended the 70 because they thought their talent, their gifting, their oratory skills, their home baking, their cleaning the toilets, their cleaning the sanctuary had something. And he had to go after the heart. And sometimes God has to go after the heart. Because I've told you, friends, if you're easily offended as a Christian, don't take it out at your spouse, your wife, your friends, the one that spurned you in the church, didn't shake your hand, turned their back. Because Jesus says that they'll do that. Oh, they do that to me. They're going to do it to you, but you must forgive. Oh, no, no. The issue's not with them then. The issue's with him. It really is. The issue's with him. Let's clarify the situation. The relationship here is already broken, but you are in full-blown breaking this one. And you can imagine the sadness with Christ. When he saw the 70, he didn't say, get out of my presence. He didn't separate from them. They separated from him. Do you know in the new covenant, not like the old covenant, in the old covenant, when men would sin, God would turn from them in part. They would have to bring the Yom Kippurim, the Day of Atonement, have that sacrifice, repent of it, and then the favor of God would come upon them. But you know in the New Covenant, the Bible says, I will never turn from doing you good. Amen. The only one that can turn in the New Covenant is you, not him. For there's no shadow of turning in him. And so the heart is everything to God. See to it, brethren, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. In the new covenant, let no man ever say that God has looked at me with disfavor. God never sees. Do you know what? God doesn't even see your sin. Isn't that an amazing thought? He warns you about it because he knows what sin will do to your heart in the new covenant. It will cause hardness of heart, unbelief, and departing from the living God. Can you imagine the sadness in the eyes of Jesus when they became offended? He loved on these men. He poured into them, friends. What about when he says to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? Are you offended? Do you give occasion for ungodly conduct, cause to turn away, entice to sin, you trip up? Paul says, for many of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they have become enemies of the cross. And he turns. Are you offended when he says, does he offend your intellect this morning when he says, I created this world in 6 days? Does he offend your intellect? Does he offend your sense of independence and well-being when he says, no fornicator will enter the kingdom of heaven? When you have your new sense of morals that come not from the word of God, does he offend your intellect when he says that the word of God is a two-edged sword, infallible? Does he offend you when he says, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life? No one comes to God the Father but through me. That means Buddha, Muhammad, and Krishna are languishing in the lost eternity, friends. There is no other way. Because if it offends you right now, you are going to leave anyhow. You might as well be offended, but you can get your heart right. And you can imagine the sadness in the eyes of the Lord as these 70 departed. Men that moved under the power of the Holy Ghost. Men that subjugated demons and saw miracles happening. What a sad reflection of the relationship when they left him. And you can imagine the broken eyes of Jesus as he turns to the 12 that are left. And he says, will you also leave me? And I'm sure Peter, the extrovert of the 12, the I can do man, I mean, poor Peter, he really had to learn grace. Peter's up in the Mount of Transfiguration And he sees the pre-incarnate glory coming out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, let us do something. Let us make three booths. Shut up, Peter. Can you just enjoy the presence of God? There's nothing you can do to add to the glory of God. And there's nothing you can do to take from it. Can you just stand and see and behold and enjoy? So Peter was the natural I can do man, the natural guy that thought maybe his suave and his arguments and his temperament and his ingenuity and his extroverted character is what drew so many people towards the ministry of Jesus. And he's hearing for himself. He could be offended like everybody else. Peter, it's actually nothing to do with you at all. It's all about me. It's my body. It's my blood. It's my cross. It's my spirit. It's my victory. And you can imagine, as he looked, and Peter dawns on him. I can see the blood just drawn from his face, and this gaunt look, and the dawning. And he says, you know what? Where would we go? For you alone. You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. Where are you going to go? Take your offense with you? Wave your fist in the face of God? Carry it away? How are you going to, through the same power of the Spirit, say, I will not hold the offense. I am what I am by the grace of God. If you see any good in me, it's because of him. Hallelujah. I don't have a ministry, it's his ministry. I don't have money, it's his money, incidentally. He happens to give me 90% of it. I don't know why. I was spending 70% of it on alcohol and cigarettes. The devil was getting it all. My life was, and now all of a sudden, God heals me of all that, saves me, sets me free, only wants 10% back. What's that about, God? Some of us should be thinking we're shortchanging God on a Sunday morning with a giving. Am I right? I was broke. How many had that testimony? I didn't even have a pot to pee in. I had nothing. Roof over my head. The presence of God comes in and works a miracle in my life, and look at me now. I'm earning an income and all he wants is 10% back. The devil got the 100% and gave me nothing. Broken heart. I don't have money. It's his money. I don't have a body. It's his body. It's his blood. His ministry. His church. And because it's his church, I better be careful how I engage her. Because it's his bride. You speak about my bride, I'm telling you, that's fighting talk. It's the truth. There's two things in an Irishman's psychology. His wife and his mammy. His mammy comes first. You talk about my mother or my wife. You can say what you want about me. You can say what you want about the church. I'm telling you, I'm crunching my fists. And you can say what you want about whatever, friends. But when you start taking charge to God's elect, you're picking the wrong fight and you're going to lose. He will not have his bride beaten and talked about. What God has called pure, let no man call common. And so, friends, I think about the incredible transaction that's going on here. God was after the heart. And I want to tell you this morning, God is still after the heart. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. See to it that none of you have a poisonous root of bitterness that would bring you away from the heart of God. And you say, Pastor, I can't live like that. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't, but you can in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Christian life is not a difficult life. It's an impossible life without my Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is poured out here today, and you can, by faith. Pastor said at the start of the first service, he said, I feel such a sense of expectation in the house. And I want to tell you, expectation is the forerunner to faith. It's not faith. It's the forerunner to it. If you don't expect, you're not even ever going to move to the place or start to apprehend in faith. But if you can expect from God today, maybe you can move to the next level and say, you know, the same God that saved me, he's promised to lift me to a new place. Hallelujah. I have not brought you here this far to disappoint you. Isn't that a wonderful promise from the Lord to you today? And I think of the awful, awful sadness of so many, as the Apostle Paul said, who walked with us, whom I have told you often now and tell you weeping, they became enemies of the cross. Why? Because they became easily offended. Does this, imagine Jesus turning to the 70 before they leave him. Ryan, does this offend you? On every cent you've ever made, I've caused that to happen in your life. It wasn't you. Actually, we had a great conversation coming in the car because the Lord has blessed this young man since she was a kid. He could kick a stone and make money. And he said to me, Pastor, this is the thing about it. He says, I'm not any good at any of this stuff. It really has been the... He said that to me. My dad said, oh, you're good. I'm not any good at this stuff. I really am not. He says, God has done this. That's the reality of it, friends. None of us are any good at any of this stuff. We're not. We're not good at being dads. We're not good at being moms. We're not good at being parents. We're quite selfish. We're quite appalling at times. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God comes upon us. I hope it offends the natural man because we need to crucify that flesh, friends. We need to hang it on that cross this morning and say, I have nothing to give God but an empty possibility. And you live like that because I'm telling you, humility is the true sign of what godly character is. Amen. Somehow we got bigger in our boots, taller than what we should be. The Christian, let me tell you, friends, he's taller when he's on his knees. He has to go down to get up, but when he's up, he has to go down to get back up again. He's stronger when he's weaker. Because my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are above your ways, says the Lord. And I think of those who have left us, those who are contemplating leaving us, and even some here this morning. I have not been talking. I have no insight to your church. I can absolutely promise you that. But if you're offended today, and you will not listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, your offense is not with the person. Your offense is with Christ. And if you don't get that right this morning, and this is a chastisement, he won't leave you. He'll follow you all the days of your life, but you will constantly walk away from him, and you will leave him. Even after experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, miracles, signs, even watching great preachers and hearing great things, you'll talk about all your stories, but in your heart you'll have departed from him. But this is an opportunity for you today to come to an altar of grace and say, oh God, everything in my life is undeserved, unmerited. I could never favor it, win your favor. And I am laying down the offense towards that brother, towards that sister, towards that situation. I am not going to be offended anymore. And I won't be offended with you, Lord. If you have a controversy with me, you ask me to go forgive, I'll run to the altar and I'll run to my brother. Amen. And I'll put it right. And I'll take the blame and I'll get the blessing. Jesus, help us to be humble people. Jesus, help us to be like, I am meek and lowly of heart. We've turned Jesus into a pop star, an aggressive, suave, know-all. He was meek. He was kind. And I could see the brokenness in his eyes even now, as he was broken for the 70. Will you two leave me? I hope this morning you say, God, I've thought about it, but where would I go? Back to a bar? Back to another relationship to meet more in-laws and other dysfunctional children and start all over again? Are you on drugs? Reinvent yourself? You didn't do a good job this time around. I wouldn't give you good odds. Go back to him. Where else would I go? You alone. There's not another ism. There is not another savior. There's not another way. There's not another road. Maybe this offends you. Because there is no other way. Oh, that's very arrogant, Christian. What about all these religions? There is no other way. I could search the whole world through and find there is none like you. Stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to pass the pastor to do an altar call for us. Let God touch your heart. When you hear his word, do not harden your heart as they did in the rebellion. Talking about the Jews. And if you have an offense against a brother and sister, you can't do it now. The first opportunity that the Holy Spirit gives you, you can put that right. And let them judge you and let them talk about you and say, oh, that one held that about me. All that. It doesn't matter. You've left it go. You march out in the strength of God. Let God be God in your life. Let the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, kindness, meekness, gentleness self-control be your inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. Who's God speaking to this morning? I just want to ask you, if you close your eyes just for a moment. We're going to close in prayer, but I'm going to open up the altar here today. There's a myriad of things that I'm sensing in my heart today that the Lord is reaching out to. Some of you have struggled with this issue of pride in your life. Some of you do. You feel like nobody knows what I can do, and it's not you. We can't do anything without Him. Some of you, you live offended. If you're not offended today, wait a day or two. Somebody's going to do something to upset you. And you let that dictate and define who you are. And you've come to a moment today. I knew it. I knew that I knew. You have come for such a time as this. On this day, and this beautiful June morning. It is your time. It is your moment. I'm going to close in prayer just a minute. Just your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You need to do that before you go. You can't. You'll never make it through life trying to do it on your own. You'll never accomplish what you need to do. I want to pray for you to make Christ the Lord of your life today. If I'm talking to you, no one's looking around, just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. That's beautiful. Brad, I want you to come down and I want you to stand over here. When I end in prayer, if that was you that raised your hand, if you leave today, you'll carry some of those things out with you. Pastor Nick, I want you to come and stand in front of me here. I'm going to have him pray for you as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Honey, I want you to come over and stand over here because I feel like there may be some ladies in here today that you just need to talk to another woman for a moment. If you want to give your heart to Christ, I'm going to close, and then I want you to come down and see Brad. He's going to pray with you. He's going to give you a Bible. If you're dealing with this issue in your life, you're just up and down, I want you to come down. Let Pastor Nick pray over you today. Father, today we come to you, not to another, to you, Lord. We come to your precious bleeding side today. And I thank you, God, that with all of our insecurities, insufficiencies, all of the things that we on a regular basis we deal with, God, that we come to you today. Even while I'm praying now, I want you to get out of your seat and come down. Come right now. Come quickly. Come right now. Come. If you'll come, you'll sense God's hand even as you're moving today. Father, I just want to say thank you today for your power, for your love, for your hope, for the life that you give. For the hurts that you heal. Just make your way here. I'm going to close in just a minute. I don't want you to wait until everybody leaves and then you come. You come now. I'm going to close in just a moment. I'm going to end in prayer. Father, I would just want to say thank you. Come now. You raise your hand to give your life to Christ. Come stand. Come see Brad right now. Father, I just want to say thank you today for sending your servant into our house, for moving by your Holy Spirit, for having your way in and through and over our lives today. May your love, may your power, may your grace be upon us today. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I love you. You need prayer. Don't you leave this morning. You come. Let the Lord minister his life and his grace to you.